We're joined by Sam Fine, who is Albany County legislator for District Number 6, which includes parts of the South End and Arbor Hill, the Mansion neighborhood, and sort of the downtown area. And recently, Sam made a proposal that this CDTA, the local bus authority, should consider going to the free bus rides. So, Sam, what was this proposal all about?
Well, it's a proposal for the CDTA requesting that the CDTA study making the entire bus system free. And what this would do is put money in the pockets of working people, and it would promote environmental sustainability. You know, if we can encourage public transportation use, it'll increase ridership, take cars off the road, and lead to a lot of environmental benefits as well.
Yeah, is this the first place in the country or New York State has done this, or have other places tried this, and how has it worked?
Well, Kansas City, Missouri has actually done this, and there are a couple other cities, Olympia, Washington, Lawrence, Massachusetts, that are doing pilot programs. And, you know, if you look at the CDTA budget, what you'll see is only about 20% of the operating revenue from the CDTA comes from bus fares. And the Times Union actually wrote an editorial in favor of this proposal, you know, and pointed out that, you know, we already heavily subsidize the CDTA, and we do it for a reason, because it provides a public benefit to the people, and because it promotes protecting the environment. And so it's, why not subsidize it all the way and, you know, double down on these values and these benefits?
You know, did Kansas City have any, or any other cities have any information about how did bus ridership increase once they went to a free system?
Well, I read recently that in Lawrence, Massachusetts, on the routes that were free, ridership increased 24%. But, you know, one of the things we hope to look at in the study is some of the examples of other cities and the impacts there.
And, you know, were there any particular groups that came forth that sort of asked you to do this proposal, or is it something you came up on your own?
Yeah, it's something I came up with on my own, just following what's going on in other areas and just, you know, understanding the economic situation that so many people are in. I think, you know, with COVID pandemic, it's really both deepen the economic inequalities and really expose them. And so as we come out of this pandemic, we got to do things differently. And I think we got to be putting forward bold ideas that are going to actually support working people. So, you know, I came up with this idea partially because I saw that it was being done in other places, but a lot of local groups also, you know, joined on in support, including the president of Citizen Action, the president of Walkable Albany, and the Youth Political Alliance, and as well as the chairman of the legislature and other legislators.
I know when I worked for the Hunger Action Network, one of the things we looked at with the bus system was that bus systems often are designed to take people from the suburbs, you know, 9 to 5 to downtown for jobs, and then bring them back to, you know, the suburbs at night. And doesn't do a lot to actually reflect, you know, where low-income individuals work and have bus hours that reflect, you know, their work hours and bus routes, you know, reflecting where they live and where they work at. Has the CTA, you know, been looking at how to improve, you know, access to the bus for low-income working families?
Well, you know, I know that they have... They're implementing the bus rapid transit line that goes from downtown Albany, from the south end of Albany to Troy. So I think they are trying to expand routes in some areas in low-income communities. But I think fare-free transit is something that would do the most for these communities. When I mentioned to my doctor that about this proposal, he said, wow, that's a great idea. He said people miss their doctor's appointments because they can't afford the bus fare. And people schedule doing an important errands, going to the grocery store around when they have that $1.50, $3 for round trip to get on that bus. So, you know, it just shows, you know, people need to have the freedom to get around, whether it's for leisure or for employment. And so if we want to do something related to public transportation that's going to give freedom and put money in the pockets of working people and really impact them most, then I say that this is what we should do.
And so how has CDTA and, you know, others in county government reacted to your proposal?
Well, some in the county, we had some other legislators that signed on to the proclamation, and the CDTA, they put out a statement that, you know, they're looking at it. I think, you know, we're looking forward to continuing the conversation with them. Of course, you know, they brought up that a lot of it depends on the funding. And, you know, once we get a study, hopefully what we can do is then seek funding from the federal government, from the state government. You know, we can look at whether or not partially it could be funded locally. But I think, you know, ultimately budgets are about priorities, and public transportation, free and accessible transportation must be a priority for us.
I also noticed that recently you signed on to a letter calling upon the State Department of Environmental Conservation to take a closer look at some of the environmental issues related to the Norlite hazardous waste incinerator up in Cohoes, particularly the issue, I guess, of dust particles. You know, what are some of your concerns about that? And you know, and particularly since Cohoes is a little bit north of your county legislative district, why were you one of the few county legislators, you know, that agreed to sign on to this letter?
Well, I've been very much in touch with the groups, community groups working there on this issue, particularly a young man named Joe Ritchie, who is the head of Saratoga Sites Against Norlite Emissions. And he grew up and lives in the public housing facility that is directly next to this toxic waste incinerator. And it's just unconscionable that people would be forced to live in these types of toxic conditions. And so the fugitive dust issue, it's this carcinogenic dust that blows over to the public housing at Saratoga Sites from Norlite. It's one of many issues. You know, lucky that the PFAS issue was addressed with the burning of the firefighting foam, although we recently discovered that the DEC was lying about how long they knew about that for. But there's so many issues. And ultimately, Norlite needs to be closed down. You can't have a toxic waste incinerator in a residential neighborhood. I don't think, you know, for anyone questioning that, ask yourself, would you ever choose to live next to a toxic waste incinerator?
Now, I know last year the county legislature did pass a clean air law, which, among other things, did at least, I believe, stop the future burning of this toxic firefighting foam at Norlite. Also looked a bit about the cement plant burning tires down in Ravenna. You know, this is a facility, I guess it has state and federal permits. What role could the county do in terms of trying to, you know, stop this incinerator from operating in the middle of a residential neighborhood?
Well, I mean, we did what we could when it came to the clean air law, which affects their ability to burn toxic chemicals, chemicals with PFAS in them. But, you know, we're somewhat limited in county government. I think the state government and the federal government need to step in and protect people's health. It's as simple as that. You know, I want to point out Norlite isn't the only situation like this in the Capital Region. There's the Dunn landfill in Rensselaer. It's right next to a public school. There's Sheridan Hollow. For years they were fighting the Answers plant. Then most recently they were fighting the state that was going to build a gas generator right in their neighborhood to power the Empire State Plaza. You have in the south end of Albany, you have Ezra Prentice Public Housing Homes. It's right next to, in a very toxic area, right next to the Port of Albany. And it's consistently, time and time and again, it's low-income communities. It's often communities of color. It's those communities that don't have power. They're not the donor class. They're the ones that are subjected to these toxic and hazardous conditions.
So we've been talking to Sam Fine, Albany County Legislator, just a sec. We only have about 50 seconds left. I noticed on your county website page, you also on the, I guess, the Green Initiatives and Sustainability Committee. Any other, you know, 30 seconds you're hoping to promote this year, initiatives?
Well, we were actually talking, some of the legislators, we were talking about some initiatives that we could do. We want to have a larger conversation about things like switching our county buildings over to green energy. I think it's really important that we retrofit our older buildings, especially in lower income communities where there's a lot of pollution and often higher energy costs as well due to old inefficient energy generation. So there's a lot we need to do, our county vehicles, and we're looking forward to moving these conversations forward, and we hope to take action on them.
So we've been talking with Sam Fine, Albany County Legislator, District 6, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio.